Make another cross. Make another cross. I've heard that once. I've heard it 100 times. I've been building these death traps longer than most of you been alive. This one was supposed to be for this man who was claiming to be the Son of God. We had no God but Caesar. At least that's what we were told to believe. Everybody but him knew that he wasn't God. If you repeat that, I'll say that you're lying. This Jesus, many people had gone out to hear him. They told me that when he spoke, it was, he said a lot of amazing things and some things that were just really outlandish, it seemed like. He was different from all the other teachers, they said, because when he spoke, he spoke with such authority, you understand. For this reason, he was just somebody that we needed to watch. Finally, it all caught up to him. It was my assignment, my responsibility to build this cross. Day by day, I participated in what most consider to be one of the cruelest forms of capital punishment in history. Roman crucifixion was brutal, to say the least. The victim would suffer for hours, and sometimes it would go on into days before finally the crucifixion would squeeze out his last breath. You can't assume that everybody who was crucified was actually guilty of anything, you understand. No. But those who died on this cross, the victims, they didn't die because of the 7-inch stakes that were driven into their wrist and into their feet. No, they died by what followed. What followed is something that I had witnessed time and time again. You see, what took place in that moment was unbelievable. So much so that I got to tell you, I'm ashamed. My children know what I do day by day. Roman crucifixion was brutal, as I said. But it was my job to prepare these instruments of death. To make sure that they were ready for what was about to happen. The condemned, they were forced to sit on this instrument of death. They were forced to sit in such a way as to breathe in this contorted position that they were in. The problem with this, isn't it, sitting in that position, is that they were unable to relax the muscles around their rib cage. And so consequently, they were forced to push up with their feet. You can imagine the pain that would move through their body as they were overcome by exhaustion. And finally, they would die of suffocation. Some men could fight it off for a good period of time. Others, they died rather quickly. But in either case, the pain was designed to be, well, it was designed to be prolonged and horrific. As long as we could keep them there suffering, this was the best situation. Listen, this was my assignment. But I can tell by how some of y'all are looking at me today that you somehow hold me responsible for this. The truth of the matter is that if you look deeply within your own life, you would realize you're just as responsible for this as anybody. It was your guilt as much as it was my guilt. I didn't actually crucify Jesus. I just built a cross. The other soldiers who actually did that, you understand. They're the ones who nailed him to the cross and ultimately placed him on this instrument of death. Speaking of this cross, this section of the cross was a simple means. It was a yet efficient means for executing somebody. Simple, I say, because it was really just one vertical piece, this stipe, as it is called. And then there was a crossbeam, and the crossbeam was what was oftentimes carried by the crucified to the place of crucifixion, and it could weigh as much as 100 pounds. It was made of wood, and we could reuse them over and over again. Cursed be the man who hung on this cross. No Roman soldier would humiliate himself by carrying this cross. No, it was an instrument of death for those who transgressed the law. This is why Jesus was crucified, because he was numbered among the transgressors. That's why we resorted to this means. It was brutal. Do you know that when the nails were driven through his hands, through his wrists, that it would pierce the nerves in his arms and through his upper torso, causing him the pain to go through his entire body and causing his hands to clasp into fist. The soldiers would oftentimes use this crossbeam as they were nailed to this section of it, and they would hoist it up to the top of the stipe, and there they would secure it for final crucifixion. Sometimes they would nail him to the cross, and the whole section of it laid on the ground. But in either case, when they lifted up the crucified one, there's no doubt that his muscle and his flesh would tear away from his body. But in Jesus' case, he remained there on the cross. Do you know that Jesus predicted his own death? He said that the Son of Man is delivered in the hands of men, and that he will suffer many things, and that he would be rejected by many, delivered by the Jews into the hands of the Gentiles. That was us, the Romans, to be scourged, to be spit upon, and to be killed. And on the third day, he would rise again. That's what Jesus said. That's not my words. You see, the thing about it is that he apparently wanted to die, is what it sounds like to me. He willed himself to death. That's what when his disciples no longer could follow him, they fled for their lives. And one such disciple, he sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. This is what I heard. As he negotiated some deal with the Sanhedrin. Can you believe that? A disciple of Jesus who denies Jesus won't even admit that he's associated with him. That night there was a lot of commotion, and I don't really know all the details other than there was this great back and forth between Annas and Caiaphas and the Sanhedrin. By the end of the night, the thing that they really wanted, they really had against Jesus, was that he was a blasphemer, they said. He claimed to be the Son of God. There was great hatred in their heart for this Jesus. By daybreak, obviously things became interesting, because the Sanhedrin brought Jesus before Pilate, seeking that Pilate would execute Jesus. You see, there was this contention between Pilate and the Sanhedrin. And this contention was obvious, as you could tell, that the Sanhedrin wanted Pilate to do their dirty work. The Pilate said to them, "You take him. And you judge him according to your law." And they said, "Well, we have no right to execute him." You see, it's apparent. It's apparent what they really wanted, isn't it? We have no right to execute him. They already had it in their mind. It was already in their heart that they would execute Jesus themselves. I said, "Well, he's guilty of subverting the laws of our nation." Our nation, they were Jews. They didn't care anything about the Roman government. They said he would not pay tribute to Caesar. I don't know about that, whether he paid his taxes or not. But in the end, what they really said was that he claimed to be the Christ. He claimed to be a king. A king. A king? He didn't have any followers. I didn't see any soldiers. And there wasn't any kingdom that I could observe. A king. I don't know what they were afraid of. But they were afraid indeed. They wanted him dead. At any cost, they wanted him. They wanted him dead. Jesus was brought into the hall of judgment by Pilate. And Pilate cross-examined him, seeking to pacify the Jews, but it just didn't work for them. I just was doing what I was told to do. I was just making another cross, you understand. I thought that's what it was. There was this man who had been convicted, and it was obvious that his crimes were evident against the government, and he was an insurrectionist. He was a very noted criminal, well known. His name was Barabbas. Yeah, this guy was guilty for sure. No, there's no way they would allow him to go free. But before I realized it, the people were shouting out, "Barabbas, Barabbas, release unto us Barabbas!" As it was the custom around the Passover that one of the prisoners of note would be released. And so Pilate, he called the chief priest and the elders together, and he told them that he had no basis upon which to convict this Jesus, but that he would punish him and that he would release him. But they would have nothing to do with that. They insisted that Jesus would be executed. And so they went on to keep the custom. I couldn't believe what I was seeing, what was going on. But when it came to those religious people, the Sanhedrin and all of their politics, I couldn't believe much of what they ever said and did. Pilate was no better. He was as much a manipulator as any of them were. Now, listen, if you repeat that, I'll say that you're lying as well. No, not a word of it. You say, it's apparent that they wanted Jesus dead. And so I just did what Pilate had instructed me to do. Build another cross. But it wasn't over. No. The soldiers took Jesus. And they stripped him of his clothes and they set him down in a chair and they put a reed in his hand and they began to mock him as though he were the king. And they danced around him and they fell before him and they pretended as though they were worshiping him. And yet in an act of indignation, they stood to their feet and they spit on him and they punched him. I told you Roman crucifixion was brutal, didn't I? That wasn't the end of it. They took a crown of thorns and they pressed it deep within his scalp so that now the blood was flowing into his face along with the spit. You could no longer recognize his face. I know it may seem like I'm a little indifferent to everything that went on, but I was just the cross builder. That's all I did. The journey from the praetorium to the place of execution was... The skull, the place of Golgotha, was a tortured-filled journey indeed. Those who were brought to this place were brought so with one purpose, to execute them. The condemned, the crucified one, was forced to carry his own cross. Did I say that? You could see the difficulty of doing something like this. But it was our intention to bring as much humiliation to them as possible so that we could create a spectacle and ultimately that we might break the will of the people. Jesus, he was in no shape to carry his cross down the crowded streets of Jerusalem as the people were shouting and screaming at him all kinds of obscenities. Weakened by the beating, Jesus finally fell underneath the weight of the cross. But there was one there that they pulled out of the crowd whose name was Simon of Cyrene. And he was compelled to carry the cross the rest of the way.
Hack! Hack! Bobby! Bobby! Bobby!
Ce ci estis? Videre non potestis, quod iste homo procedere sicut hoc non potest. Iuvateu.
Ant! Vita! Tu, Ant! Alka!
ما بقاخ مني
حب البناء لا حلو من سفره تعها سرع شه
ليك أخوذي تيشار إبراك فاهي لادي براتيش شو لخران
أسرع أنا شايل عن الفرس
أبوت زماء ها هياموس ودكورو دين زكو وإن ساتسلافا دين أشميثرشا Tibutna, how we holy.
Father!
The ninth hour. They crucified him. And by the third, he was dead. It was always our intention to inflict as much pain as we possibly could and to prolong this death as long as we possibly could. But in just 6 hours, Jesus died on the cross. Six. Pilate told us that we were to crucify him in a public place where all those who passed by would see him. And there Jesus died on that cross. Most of his followers had already abandoned him at this point. But there were still some who remained at the cross. Some women and one of the disciples, John, I believe. They remembered the words that Jesus had said on another occasion when he said, My Father loves me because I lay down my life and because I take it up again. No man takes it from me. I alone have the power to lay down my life and to take it again. Obviously, Jesus, he lived and he died. He chose this way. He suffered this way by his own choosing. Those soldiers who were there at the cross say that the last words of Jesus was he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Others heard him say, Into thy hands I commit my spirit. Still other soldiers said that he cried out, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And finally, his last words, Tetelestai, it is finished. But what was finished? It's not finished for the Jews. they came to Pilate insisting that the legs of those who'd been crucified would be broken so as to accelerate death. They did not want any bodies to defile their Sabbath. And they insisted that the bodies be removed from the crosses. And so the soldiers went and they broke the legs of those two criminals, those transgressors who were with Jesus. They broke their legs. But when they turned to Jesus to break his legs to ensure his death, he was already dead. He was already dead. One of the soldiers who stood there took his spear and he thrust it into Jesus' side, wherein water and blood mixed together flowed from him. Why? All of this was done that it would be said that not a bone of him would be broken, and that they will gaze upon him whom they have pierced. Listen, I just did what they said. I just made another cross. That's what I was supposed to do. But let me tell you, this was not just another cross.